a lesser man like me might have been a little bit put out. You know, I mean, I'm a new creation in Christ. I'm a new creature, but I am still working out my salvation with fear and trembling. I'm still renewing my mind. I'm still going from glory to glory. And if I was that spent and 10,000 people showed up and said, "Hey, we knew you were coming. We want some ministry," I would, you know, most people would be just a little bit frustrated. "God, don't you know how bad I need this?" And so it's amazing the depth of his love that even in that spent situation, 10,000 people show up. And instead of recoiling or hiding or running or looking for a rock to crawl under, he is moved with compassion for them because he sees them as sheep without a shepherd. He sees you and me in our state as we are. That's the amazing thing about our Lord. He sees us. And when he saw this multitude, he didn't see it just a crowd. He saw them as sheep without a shepherd. Now, I said you might need a shepherd's heart to really understand how profound this is, but let's try to break it down. What does it mean when it says here that they were like sheep without a shepherd? What are sheep who don't have a shepherd actually like? What are they like? Yeah, John, go ahead. They don't know where they're going. They don't know what they're doing. Anybody else? What are sheep without? Let's break it down. Let's find out. What are sheep without a shepherd actually like? Bad. They're bad to the bone. Yeah. A woolly bunch of people, man. They stand around and do nothing. Gene. They get caught in stuff. They get injured. They get matted and smelly, you know, their hair is all ridiculous. Anybody else? What are sheep? Think about it for a second. What is a sheep without a shepherd like? Charlie. They become food, yeah. They are vulnerable. They're in danger of being slain, eaten. What's that? What? Yeah, they're in danger of being run over by a semi, you know. They're walking around on all the wrong roads. No, 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 you don't belong there. Get back to where you belong. You started this, Tom. You, get back. That was a stretch. E-W-E, never mind. Okay. As I was thinking about this, I came up with some of my own ideas. What are sheep without a shepherd actually like? How about scared? They get comfort from the shepherd. They get a sense of security. When they don't have a shepherd to watch over them, they get scared. And rightfully so, because the world is a dangerous place. And there are many pitfalls and many dangers fraught with peril. They're confused because they have no one to lead them. They simply wander around. Maybe they wander off. Sometimes a shepherd has to leave the 99 and go after the one because he simply wanders off. He's confused. He's prone to misinformation. He can be led astray. He can be led into danger. He's scared. He's confused. He has questions that no one can answer. He's looking for direction, and he has no bearing. Life seems to be a chaotic, random mess of frightening things. They are vulnerable. I mean, we were talking about warrior sheep the other day, but these aren't warrior sheep. These are just sheep. They don't have claws. They're not known for their fangs. They're just sheep. They're known as being food. They're vulnerable. They are often hurting because maybe they did wander into something or fall down. So they're hurting. They're in pain. They're often dysfunctional. They can't walk right. They're bent over. They're crooked. They're hungry because no one has led them to a place of provision and food. And so there is an inner ache as that hunger just eats away. You know what that ache is like. It just starts in your belly and it just consumes you until all you can think about is getting that filled. It just affects every other part of your life. They're lost. They don't know where they are. They have no one to lead them. They don't know home from foreign land or anything. They're just wandering, and they are prone to wander. So Jesus sees this multitude coming towards them, and he is moved with compassion because he sees that they're scared, they're confused, they are vulnerable, they are hurting and injured, they are hungry, they are lost, and they are prone to wander. And any step could be their last, and he is moved with compassion for them. The first thing I see in this story that just charges me is that our Lord has a heart of compassion. He is a man of compassion. Those who know him are people of compassion because that's what he's like. He sees beyond the surface. He sees who we really are. He sees into the secret places that we don't let anybody see. He sees them nevertheless. And he not only sees them, he is moved with compassion because of them. Don't ever think that the thing that is hurting you and eating you up inside, that your Lord does not care. He cares more deeply than you can imagine because he is, in fact, a man of compassion with a heart of compassion. He saw this multitude on this day, and even though he was tired himself and weary and hungry himself and feet probably hurt himself, because he had spent the entire day before that healing and teaching and healing and teaching and ministering and counseling. Nevertheless, he spent the rest of that day with them, healing them and teaching them many things. They needed to be taught. They needed to know how to have a victorious life where they weren't being crushed under the wheels of Satan and the flesh and the world. They needed to know how to know God, who he is and what he is like. He needed to reveal the Father to them so they could see something in their spirit that had never entered their mind before, and the light of truth could suddenly dawn in their heart like the rising of the sun and give them something they've never experienced before and could never experience since in all of its glory. He taught them many things. He taught them about eternal life. He taught them about how to love God and how to be empowered to love one another. How to inherit eternal life. Now, I don't think I'm surprising anybody when I said Jesus had a heart of compassion. Was anybody surprised? You're like, dude, I never thought of that. Son of God, I'm so glad I came today. It's no secret. Jesus has a heart of compassion, okay? But here's the wild thing. When the day is far spent and he has spent his entire day, whatever little eeky bit he had left, he's given himself to them all day. And at that point, the disciples are ready to say, enough is enough. Let's send them all away. Send them into the villages. Let's be done. Let's get food for them and food for ourselves. You know, I can understand that. Can you understand that? I mean, can you relate to where they were coming from? Enough is enough. It's time. Send them away. Right at that point, Jesus makes one of the most profound statements I have ever read in Scripture. Six simple words. Amazing statement. He says, you give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. You can imagine their reaction. I don't know. Use your imagination. Lord, send the 10,000 people away so they can get some food. They're hungry, and I'm hungry too. And Jesus says, you give them something to eat. In other words, he wants them to have the same compassion, the same care, to feel with the same heart the love and tenderness that he has for them. They're not someone to send away. They're someone to care for. He wants them to care and feel and be moved the way He is moved for them. You, when you look in Scripture, the disciples were always ready to send the people away. The blind men were crying out on the road. He tells them, shut up. The children were clamoring around Jesus to be blessed. He's like, get the kids out of here, man. Let the master alone. They're always ready to send people away. Jesus was always telling people to come. Come to me. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest to your souls. Come and find rest. He said, if any man thirst, let him come. Let him come to me and drink, and out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. Jesus was always telling people to come. His disciples were always telling them to go. Even at the end, when he sent his disciples out and said, go into all the world, he sent them out so they could tell people to do what? To come. There was a little dichotomy there. There was a little bit of gap, and he wanted to bridge that gap. He wanted them to be filled with the same compassion as himself. And can you understand that? Does that make sense? Amen. But there was one problem. They didn't have any food. I mean, you can have all the compassion you want. You can sympathize. You can be, boy, you're hungry, aren't you, Mark? Man, I sympathize, brother. I know what that's like, man. I hope God feeds you someday, brother. That's poor Mark. Don't you feel bad for Mark? This brother, he's sitting there. He probably hadn't had breakfast or anything. There was one problem. They didn't have any food. So they needed more than a heart of compassion. It's great. Yes, we need a heart of compassion. We ought to care. But they needed something else. All the sympathy in the world wasn't going to make the hunger go away. In addition to a heart of compassion, they had to have a heart of what? Faith. They needed faith. The kind of faith that reaches beyond what we can see with our eyes, that looks beyond what the circumstances sees to be, that looks to the provision of God Himself and says, yes, let me lay a hold upon that in my spirit so God can bring it forth. They needed a heart of faith. Now let me ask you this. How many of you would have been intimidated if you were there at that day facing that crowd and Jesus said to you, get them something to eat.